Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Checking in now, an old friend and a damn good American. Here's Troy Aikman. Troy?
Hey, Mike.
How's California treating you?
It's awfully good. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I said a minute ago, we were talking about luck in football and how, hey, listen, you can have your decimal points and your analytics, which I believe in, but, you know, give me the bounce of the ball. And then I said, speaking of the luckiest person in the world, Troy Aikman coming up next.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't even want to know why you say that.
Well, I say it in addition to the fact that I really believe that Troy Aikman, three-time Super Bowl winner, a Hall of Famer, and Aikman, you know, I just think Aikman and the way he played the position is about as good as it's ever been done, especially with the spotlight on him in Dallas. I'll even say this, having to, not that you were directly behind Staubach, but when you become the Cowboys quarterback now, you have to deal with the legend of Staubach and Aikman. That's part of Dak's, what he shoulders. But you came here, I don't think it took you very long before you realized, they expect me to do what Staubach did?
Yeah, you know, I think that what happens, Mike, is, well, first of all, thanks. I mean, you've always been a big supporter of mine. I really appreciate it. I believe that when you're a first-round quarterback selected, that then becomes the criteria. I don't think it's about passing titles. I don't think it's about Pro Bowls. It really, when an organization takes a quarterback that high, it's with the assumption that that quarterback can lead you to a world championship. So, you know, when I came to Dallas, as you know, in 1989, the team was not very good. I enjoyed the Cowboys when I was living in Oklahoma and growing up. I knew what Staubach and those teams had all accomplished, very well aware of the history of the organization. But this thing that is now known as the Dallas Cowboys and the fan base and the popularity and all of that comes with that, it was not around in 1989. It really did not emerge for us until we started to win again in 91. And then all these Cowboys fans that had kind of been in the closet for so many years because the team had struggled, they came out, and then we began to realize, wow, this history that the team developed in the 70s with those Super Bowl wins and all of their success and consecutive winning streaks, that's when we realized just how special the organization was. But I didn't know it right away. I think players that come to the Cowboys now, even though they haven't won a Super Bowl in quite some time or made it to the NFC Championship game, I think players immediately come to the Cowboys for not just right now, but for a long time and know that this is an organization that's unique and it's special and it's different from the other 31.
Troy, speaking of which, in NFC Championship games, I know you've got a lot of pull over at Fox, but I'm not sure you knew that Friday night they decided to air the 1995 NFC Championship game. And I know it was a loss. And I know, you know, if you look just at the numbers and interceptions and stuff like that, it doesn't look like anything great. But to me, that was one of the best performances I've ever seen in your career. And it was making me uncomfortable watching it because of how tough it looked out there. And I thought about it on Friday going, I wonder if this was Troy's toughest game, you know, physically after it was all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty tough game in a lot of ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, everything. It's the game, I've said many times, it's the game that I'm most proud of, and people kind of do a double take when I say that because it's a game that we lost, and we had just come off of back-to-back Super Bowl championships. And the reason I say it is that most of America really was not aware of our struggle. They weren't aware of my struggles and as a rookie. And when we finally made it to national television outside of Thanksgiving games, you know, we had Madden and Summerall doing most of our games, and America had only seen the Cowboys win. You know, we had made it to the postseason. We'd won back-to-back Super Bowls, and, you know, we were rolling right along. And so for the first time in a very significant game, we didn't play our best, and we struggled. But, yeah, we didn't quit. I mean, no one did. Larry Allen was a rookie that year. He was playing on one leg, but he would not come out of the game. And, you know, I could go through the whole list of guys that just battled and just refused to give up. And we came up short. But I think that, at least for me, what I believe happened is we gained a lot of respect around the country, because for the first time, people saw us having to face adversity and how were we going to handle that. And I think we proved, one, why we were able to be champions, and then two, that we weren't front runners, that we were a tough-minded group, and then we were able to come back the following year and prove that again and win another world championship.
Luckily, there's been advancements in how turf is dealt with in NFL stadiums. I mean, by the end of that game, it was just unbelievable. And, you know, the inability to just kick a field goal in certain circumstances, I was thinking, you know, it feels like, I know for you probably that it was maybe a long time ago or maybe not, like it was just yesterday. But to think of how far we've come with how the NFL is played right now, and, you know, Fish and I, our last segment, were just talking about quarterbacks and how it's looked at, and there's a narrative out there you can't have a certain percentage above the, you know,
salary
taken away
wise,
the salary cap. And I'm thinking, like, so Pat Mahomes is done? What, Troy Aikman would be, you know, the Cowboys would be done with Troy Aikman? When you look at that type of argument, because obviously it pertains to Dak, you know, what do you think of that, as well as, you know, every team in the league?
I'm not sure I followed that question there. What do I think of Dak in terms of his...
No, the, well,
what
the
question mean to the salary cap,
right? That you can't win a salary. Yeah, I should have set it up better. That you can't win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl if a quarterback takes up too high of a percentage of a salary cap.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. It's a good point. I think that if you look at Tom Brady, I guess he at times didn't, you know, he wasn't the highest paid guy, and I think if there ever was a guy who should be the highest paid guy, it's been Tom Brady. And you know, he made a lot of money. I don't know what side deals he had or whatever else was going on. I know that there are those teams like Seattle, like Kansas City, that have had rookie contracts with their quarterbacks and have been able to go on and win a Super Bowl. And although Dallas has had success, they didn't get to the ultimate prize. And some would say, well, they failed to capitalize on a underpaid quarterback and how talented this team was. And I guess if you come up short, you always, you know, failed to capitalize, but I know that that's not Dak's issue. You know, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid a lot of money. Whether or not he ultimately takes what at the most he could possibly get, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever truly know that answer. But I think that those are decisions that organizations have to be able to make. There's other situations where quarterbacks are getting paid a lot of money, and those teams are competitive, and they're getting into the postseason with opportunities to win it all. So, ideally you'd like to have everybody say, hey, well, why don't I sacrifice a little bit for the good of the team, and then we can get this player and then get this guy in free agency, and that would work great. I don't know how practical it is, because I think although I do believe that the quarterback, you know, he has to view those things a little bit differently than anyone else, because at the end of the day, I know this better than anybody. The quarterback is judged on championships, and the better chance you can give yourself of coming out of this league and your career with championships, then you try to make that happen. But I've said before, I don't know if I've said it to you guys, I love Dak Prescott. I love everything about him. What Mike came on to this show talking about with regards to me, I feel the same way about Dak. I think he's a very unselfish player. I wouldn't say that about everybody. And he only wants to win. He truly does not care about his stats. He just wants to win. He's a great leader. His teammates love him. I saw Sean Lee the other day out here in Santa Barbara. We got to talking about Dak, and I said, is there something I'm missing about this guy? Because I love him. And Sean's a huge fan as well, and everybody in that locker room is. So I would pay him. He will get paid. I'm not saying anything. The Cowboys don't already know. They will pay him. He's going to make a lot of money, and I think he's going to be the quarterback for the Cowboys for a long, long time and continue to have a great career.
Do you think we're wasting our time trying to say, where do you rate him? I think he's the 6th. I think he's the 8th. I think he's the 10. I don't understand the point of that, except to fill time.
Yeah, you know, and now in quarantine, when there's nothing else to do, I mean, it even becomes more of a topic. I've been surprised, Mike, that there's so much discussion about his contract. I mean, it's not like he's not going to be playing for the Cowboys in 2020. Whether he's franchised or he has a deal, he's going to be here playing, and eventually a deal gets done. So it's not high on my list of things when I look at the league and what's happening, whether it's with the Cowboys or the other 31 teams. I'm not worried about Dak and his contract. That will take care of itself, and I've maintained that I strongly believe that they'll reach a deal, and he'll have a long-term contract as opposed to playing under the franchise tag this year.
Troy, you joined Fox, and a year after your first season commentating, you moved to the number one booth, and it's now 2020. There are very few people that have maintained that type of stature within the business for as long as you have. I don't know if you hear this or get this or how you feel about it when you do, but the comparisons, along with your football career, to the greatest, like John Madden, in the booth for as long as you've been there, do you reflect on that at all? Do you think about it? How does it make you feel when you look back at it?
Well, I'll be honest. It amazes me that I am going into my 20th year of broadcasting. I just don't know where the time's gone. It just does not feel like I've been retired that long. And I've been fortunate. You know, when I retired, Matt Millen was taking on the general manager's job with the Detroit Lions, and Ed Gorin offered me a job and said, we'd like to move you into the number two booth. And I ended up taking it, of course. And one of the reasons I think why Matt left was, you know, he had been laboring behind John Madden for so long, and there was no end to John Madden's run in sight. And that was going to continue. And John's been a longtime friend. And I remember after my first year of broadcasting in 2001, I got a call from John, and he said, hey, I wanted to let you know there's going to be an announcement tomorrow. I'm going to Monday Night Football. And I couldn't believe it. I thought you're leaving Fox, but I didn't think at that time it had any bearing on my career and what I was going to be doing. And then they decided to move Joe Buck and I and Chris Collinsworth into a three-man booth, into the number one booth. And then I've been there ever since. So that timing, I guess, was the first part of it. And then, much like my football career, people ask me, hey, what do you think the keys are to success? And the things that I can control, it's all cliche, but, you know, you work your ass off and you do the right things. And, you know, there are no shortcuts and all that goes with that. But also, and maybe just as importantly, is surround yourself with good people, surround yourself with talented people. And that, of course, was a hallmark of my career with the Cowboys. And it has been in broadcasting too, not just working alongside Joe Buck for the past 19 years, but also, the people that are in the truck, the producers and the directors and all of the support people that we have. We've got a good team at Fox. I have a good team at Fox. And so that really helps. And when I got into this, quite honestly, I thought I'd do it for 2 or 3 years and then I'd figure out what I wanted to do. And I think maybe if my personal life was a little different, you know, maybe I would have pursued a front office position. It's something that I thought that I would probably get into. But with two young girls and as a single father, I just felt that move would be very selfish on my part, and I didn't have to do it. Whereas broadcasting was a perfect job for me to be able to spend the time with my girls when they were young and get them to school and pick them up and make all of their school activities and then only be gone on the weekend during the football season. So it's been an awesome job for me. And I've really enjoyed it. And through that, I've been able to remain close to a lot of the players, and it's made it a lot of fun. You know, it's one thing to follow the game, but then to have relationships with the guys within the game, I think that's been the part that's been the most rewarding for me.
Eight Ball, I wasn't going to bring it up, but you did. Cowboy Nation would love to have Troy Aikman be involved in Cowboys front office stuff. I've explained the reasons why that seems like quite a long shot. Share your thoughts, please.
Well, I think it's a long shot. It's a long shot in Dallas. I think it's always been a long shot in Dallas for the simple reason that it's a family affair, and with two sons, Jerry having two sons, and Steven, of course, you know, he's been working in the front office ever since the team was bought. That they're not in need of that type of person. So, yeah, I've always known that okay, for me to have a role that would excite me and would be at a level that was significant enough, that was never going to be likely in Dallas. And so now, you know, I have my oldest daughter graduates. She graduated, and then my youngest will graduate next year. So I'm in a position to where now I have time on my hands. But at 53 years old, I'm realistic. I always have been. I'm not naive enough to think you just step in and take over a job like that when you have no background. But I'm a quick study, and I could pick up on it pretty quick. And I know what's important to championship football. But is a team willing to invest and then have someone who's then 54, 55 years old? That's not the way the world works, as you know. I mean, they tend to want to go younger, and I understand that. So I think the opportunity's probably passed me by. And although at some levels, I guess that might be disappointing. On the other hand, you know, I'm probably ready to just kind of do the things that I really want to do, and maybe that doesn't entail going and scouting players 365 days out of the year.
You've done okay for yourself.
I'd say Hall of Fame careers is...
I got no complaints.
I know. It's true what Will just said. If you hadn't gone to the Pro Football Hall of Fame for football, you might have gone for broadcasting. You're not bad.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, what I'm thankful for as a player is that the biggest moments of my career were narrated by the great Pat Summerall and John Madden. Mm. And in my opinion, they're the best that have ever done it. And that's the soundtrack to my football career and those that watched us play. And that's awesome. And so I guess in a humble way, I hope that the Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott, as he moves through his career, I hope those type guys, when Joe and I are the ones calling their biggest moments in life, I hope they feel as good about the soundtrack they got from us as I do from Pat and John.
Troy, as always, I know you've got your commitments, and this is a family day, so for you to carve out a little time to hang out with us, very much appreciated, as always.
Thank you, Troy.
You got it, guys. Appreciate y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.